Hello, ladies. This is Teresa Senecola and Alicia Baptiste of the International Christian Mompreneur Network. And we are here today for Prayer Cafe. We are going to hear from Alicia, who's going to share a devotional with us today. And then we'll be praying over specific prayers requested by the ladies in the Facebook group. So thank you for sharing your prayer requests with us in the Facebook group. And if you're looking to do that and you don't know how to join us, just search Facebook for Christian Mompreneurs, and you'll be able to join our group and share your prayer requests and with us, and we'll be praying over you as well. So thanks for joining us, and welcome, Alicia.
Thank you, Teresa. And today, we are going to start a new series, which will go into 2019, called Be Imitators of God. And this particular series is inspired by a scripture in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 1 and 2, which reads as follows. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And so this series really is going to be about being imitators of God. And to be an imitator of God is to love and value people in the same way Jesus loved and valued people. And so throughout this series, what I'll be doing is I'll be reading a story of how Jesus interacted with people as he walked on the earth. And then we'll be pulling away, you know, some ideas of how we can imitate the love that Jesus showed to the people that he interacted with. Today, we're actually going to be talking about the story of the woman who was caught in adultery. It's from John, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 11. And as we listen to the story, be thinking about what is it that we can imitate? What did Jesus do that we could imitate? So again, that's John, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 11. Then each of them went home. Speaking of the Pharisees, if you go back to the previous chapter, that's the them it's referring to. Each of them went home while Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and making her stand before all of them, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They said this to test him so that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And once again he bent down and wrote in the ground. When they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again." Love that story. What can we imitate from this story? Well, I got a couple of points that I discovered as I was reading through the story. The first is, Jesus valued those whom society oppressed and devalued. As you read the story, and as if you read a little bit about the culture of the Jewish society, you kind of get a little bit of a glimpse of what Jesus did was pretty radical. First of all, she was a known sinner. We know that because they clearly say she was caught in the act of adultery. So we know without a doubt there was no question that this woman sinned. She was a known sinner. And the religious leaders, their interactions with known sinners were usually very negative. They looked down on those who were considered known sinners because they were not as righteous and holy as they were, as the religious rulers were. And so, again, she was in a position of being considered devalued because she was a known sinner. She was also a woman. And in that culture, women were considered less than men, almost less than human. They were, women were, their testimony would not even be considered in a court, in court. And there were many, many negative things said about women. Women had no power, no privilege. They were mere objects. They were definitely oppressed and devalued in that culture. And so what Jesus did in this interaction with the Pharisees and this woman caught in adultery was completely countercultural. And as you can see in the story, honestly, she was just a prop to be used for the religious leaders' agenda. They didn't care about that woman, nor did they really even care about her sin. What they did care about was trying to bring some charge against Jesus. And so she was merely just a prop in their little plan to trick Jesus, to capture him, to catch him off guard. Somehow they were going to trap him. And she was just a prop. She wasn't a person. She wasn't anyone that they valued. She was simply just an object. But contrast that with the way Jesus saw her. Jesus saw her humanity. He looked beyond her sinful act. She wasn't simply an adulterer. She wasn't simply a sinner. He saw the image of God in her. He saw a woman that was hurting and scared. And because he was God, he knew her backstory. He knew what brought her to the place where she was standing before him, caught in the act of adultery. He knew all the little decisions, all the things that happened in her life that put her in a position where she was even committing adultery. He knows our backstory. He knows why we think the way we think, why we end up doing the things we do. He understands why we are where we are. And he understood why she was where she was. Again, she wasn't simply a sinner. She wasn't simply some devalued person. She was a person made in the image of God. And we too must value those whom society values. We have to see beyond the obvious outward appearances, and we must be willing to listen to their stories. Of course, we're not going to be like Jesus. We're not going to meet someone for the first time and know all their backstory. So we must take the time to listen, to understand. Because the reality is, it's very, very easy to be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes, to be like those religious leaders are. It's so easy to just look on the outside, to see the sin, to point our finger, to say, you know what, look at that bad person, look at that sinful person. You know what, they just need to stop it. They need to do this and do that. But it is so hard to point fingers at someone when you actually take the time to listen, to hear their pain, to hear their struggles, to find out what brought them to that place, to hear their maybe skewed thinking, but just to take the time to listen, it helps us to remember that they are human just like us, that they have hopes and dreams just like us, that they've experienced disappointment and pain, and maybe they've made some mistakes, but maybe other people, maybe they've been the victim of circumstances beyond their control, and perhaps we become more compassionate as Jesus was when we listen to the stories of others. So my question to us today is, who is it that are in our culture, in our realm of influence, in our, who is it that we overlook? Who is it that we see as less than human? Who is it that we maintain a distance from, that we can put those people in that category over there, and we're over here, you know, these good, wonderful people, but those people over there? You know, I think about that as I think about our nation, as we have placed ourselves in these very opposing corners. You know, they're over there, the bad people, and we're over here, the wonderful people. Who is it that we no longer see as human beings made in the image of God? I pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal that to our hearts. And let us become more intentional about listening, seeking out their stories, those people that seem less than human to us. I mean, I don't think any of us would say that, but the reality is there are people that we encounter that we don't see as being as human as we are. May we be intentional to seek out, to hear their stories, to listen in order to understand and to begin to have a heart of compassion towards them. Okay, so the second point that I discovered as I was looking through this, listening to the story, is Jesus was her advocate, was the woman's advocate. So first point, Jesus values those whom society oppresses and devalues, but he is also an advocate. He was for her. Now, I think the thing that's important to understand is he was for her, but he was not for her sin. And that is very clear, because at the very end of their encounter, he tells her to go and sin no more. So he did not support her sin, but he was 100% for her. And as he was for her, he spoke to those in power on her behalf. Her accusers were the people who were in power. They were the leaders of their society. And he was willing to speak on her behalf, because the reality is she really had no grounds to plead her own case. First of all, she was a woman, so she would not have been heard anyway. Secondly, she was guilty. I mean, she was caught in the act of adultery. What is it that she could even argue when she knew she was in the wrong? And so her voice would not have been heard, but his voice would be heard. Jesus had a captive audience. Not only did he have the audience of the religious leaders, who very clearly wanted to hear what he had to say, because they asked him the question, "Now, what do you say?" And there he was with a captive audience waiting to hear what he had to say about this situation. But he had more than just some religious leaders. He also had the people who were observing the whole scene, because as when we started off the story, it said that he was in the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. So there was a crowd of people who were there watching this whole incident unfold before them. He had a captive audience. And so he was able to speak not only to the religious leaders on her behalf, but he was able to speak to an entire audience on her behalf. He positioned himself between the woman and her accusers. And so he was able to be her protection. Because of his words and his actions, she wasn't stoned. Instead, she walked away free. Isn't that powerful to think about? That's what he does for us. He positioned himself between us in our guilt, in our sin. He positioned himself between us and our accuser. We do have an enemy that is called the accuser of the brethren, Satan. And his accusations are true. Yeah, we did what we did. We are 100% in the wrong. And yet Jesus, our advocate, he positions himself between the accuser and us, the sinner. That's what he did for this lady. Not only did Jesus not condemn her, as the religious leaders thought they had him trapped, because they were like, okay, we know this man, Jesus, and we know he is for people. What's he going to do? Either he's going to have to go against this woman. And if he goes against this woman, all the people are going to turn against him. Or he's going to have to support this woman's sin. And if he supports her sin, we got him. Jesus didn't do anything they expected. He didn't condemn her. He affirmed her humanity. After all of all of her accusers left, not only did he turned around, and if you go back and you look at that story again, no one ever speaks to this woman. Again, she was simply a prop. No one addresses her directly until all of the accusers left. Jesus was the first one to actually speak to her. And when he spoke to her, he didn't condemn her. He affirmed her humanity. Just the mere fact that this man in a public setting spoke to a woman affirmed her value and her humanity. Just the mere fact that here it was, he was supposed to be this man who was righteous and holy. He spoke to a known sinner. He affirmed her humanity. And what he spoke to her, but not just to her, to the entire crowd that surrounded him, he spoke to them and he said, you are more than your sin. And not only that, there is hope beyond your sin. That day, when that lady was brought by the religious leaders to Jesus, she was supposed to die. That act of adultery was supposed to be the end of her life. That act of adultery and that point that she was brought to those people, brought before Jesus, she was brought there from a place of hopelessness. It's over. My life is done. And yet when Jesus entered into that place, he said, no, you're more than your sin. There is life beyond today's sin. And we too must be people who stand up for those who cannot stand up for themselves as Jesus did. We, in our places where our voices have influence, we must be an advocate. We must be for people. Not simply against sin. We must be for people. Again, we're not supporting their sin, but we're for them, just as Jesus does for us. He's not for our sin, but he is 100% for us. And we must be willing to position ourselves between those who are vulnerable and their accusers. And how can we do that? Maybe we're not physically positioning ourselves between the vulnerable and their accusers, although there may be times when we may have to do that. But as Jesus did, we can provide perspective. Jesus says, okay, let's follow the law. The person without sin cast the first stone. So what was the perspective that Jesus provided? You're just as guilty as she is. And because you're just as guilty as she is, let's go ahead and get our stones and stone you too. And so we must be willing to provide perspective. And we must be willing to tell the stories of the vulnerable so that we can open the eyes of those who place those people in that category over there. We can say they're human. They're human just like you are. They're worthy of being heard and seen. And their sin does not define who they are. And there's hope beyond today's sin. And so I hope that as we go through this series, the imitators of God, that we will seriously consider how we can imitate the ways that Jesus loved and valued people. Jesus, we just thank you so much for the way that you have loved and valued us. You said, while we were sinners, you died for us. You didn't wait until we got ourselves cleaned up and got ourselves in a position where we were more acceptable, but it was in the act of committing sin while we were on our worst day, when we're caught in the midst of the most heinous acts. You loved us on that day. What a beautiful picture of that as we read this story. While we were sinners, you gave yourself for us. You laid down your life. You positioned yourself between us and the accuser. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would teach us how to do that for other people. May we be advocates. May we be for people, not simply against sin, but 100% for people. May we have the courage to stand up and speak out for those who cannot speak up or stand up for themselves. And may we be willing to be a voice for those whose voices are not heard. I also want to lift up Megan. She is asking for prayer. She said that she needs prayer for a schedule, balancing family and work that stays in time with its choreographing would be so helpful. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would give Megan the wisdom to balance family and work. Lord, we all ask for that wisdom. Maybe it's not a balance, but Lord, give us the wisdom to know how to spend our time wisely, and show us when we're not spending our time in the best way that we should be at the time. Patty is asking for strength to stay the course, for courage to stand tall in her beliefs, and for gratitude for the opportunities. Lord, we just agree with that. Lord, give her your strength. Give her courage to stand tall and strong and to persevere in doing those things that are important to her, that continue to help her to follow the convictions that you've given her. And Lord God, we ask that her heart would be filled with gratitude for all of the blessings and opportunities you've given her. For Amy, she's praying for speaking opportunities to speak up. She said it's not about her. It's about you, God. And so, Lord, if it's about you, Lord, we just ask that you would just open up opportunities for her to proclaim your goodness to the world. Amy, another Amy, asked that we would pray that she would lean into God for guidance and to make the right decisions regarding her future. Lord Jesus, we do ask that you would give her your wisdom, that she would very clearly hear your voice, Lord. May she lean into you so that she might be able to discern your voice, so that she may walk the path that you have laid before her. We also pray for Tammy. Father, she asked that we would pray for she and her girls. They're all sick with either cold or stomach issues. Lord, you are the healer, and so we ask that you would bring healing to their bodies. We also, Sherry asked for healing prayers for a broken heart and obvious direction, guided next steps. Lord Jesus, you are the healer not only of physical bodies, but you are the healer of broken hearts. You are the healer of our minds and our emotions. And so, Lord, we ask that you would speak the words of healing and comfort to Sherry. Lord God, we ask that you would direct her steps. Gertie asked for prayers. She says she's abandoned by her husband in a foreign country with her four kids. She prays that God would provide for us to go back home in Cameroon for Christmas. We're almost homeless here in Senegal, and I can't afford a rent anymore. It's true my country is going through tough times with people being killed in some parts of the nation. I prefer to go back there and be with my beloved parents and brothers and sisters. Please pray for the kids and I. Lord Jesus, we lift up Gertie before your throne, God. Lord, we don't know all of the situations of why she was abandoned by her husband. But, Lord, we know that you are near to the brokenhearted, that you are an advocate for those who have been abandoned and devalued, as we read today from your word. And, Lord, we ask that you would make a way for her to be with people who are there to support her. And Lord, meet every single one of her needs out of your inexhaustible supply. God, we know that there is nothing that is too hard for you. Lord, we know that you can provide for her in Cameroon, just like you can provide for her in Senegal. And so, Lord, we ask that you would open up the windows of heaven and provide for every single need. God, we thank you and we praise you because we know that you are moving right now on her behalf and on behalf of her kids. I think that is it. Lord God, we thank you that you've heard us, and we give you praise and honor and glory for the ways in which these women are going to see you acting on their behalf. You are their advocate. And we thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Alicia, for not only the wonderful devotional, but for taking the time to pray over these ladies by name. I know how powerful prayer is. And I just want to thank those of you who requested and those of you that are listening for trusting us and sharing your prayers with us. Really is one of the reasons that we have this group put together, so that we could support each other in this way. So thank you for that. And Alicia, I will see you next time on the Prayer Cafe.
Sounds great. Thank you, ladies, for entrusting us with your prayer request.
Yes. All right. Bye, Alicia.
Goodbye.